I know you have been waiting. We are moving on to item 10, our new Coastal Ecosystems Institute of Northern California.
Well, while this is coming up, I just want to take the opportunity to thank the chair, the board, the executive officer for this opportunity to tell you a little something about our new organization and to emphasize the overlap we have with your interests. So it looks like we're ready to go. So we are a new nonprofit in the area, the Coastal Ecosystems Institute of Northern California. My name's Frank Shaughnessy, excuse me. I'm actually a marine botanist and ecologist. I'm in the Department of Biological Sciences at Humboldt State University, and my colleague with me.
Yes, I'm Darren Maru. I'm an aquatic ecologist with McBain and Trush. You might know that term.
So I think those people from the area will recognize a lot of people on the board up here. To get right to it then, I thought what we really need to talk about is the reasons for the creation of this nonprofit. What's the history and why has it come to pass that we have it? Our group recognizes that and strongly feels that science needs to play a much larger role in making decisions about the land-to-sea connection. And so our niche, if you will, is very coastal. It's about addressing and supplying the scientific needs for questions about how watersheds and watershed activities affect what's happening, for example, in Humboldt Bay or in the nearshore marine community. That's a strong interest we have. And I can make that point a little less abstract by giving an example. I was listening with great interest this morning to all the issues of dairy and nutrient input. And, for example, in the Chesapeake Bay watershed, it's agricultural nutrient input into the Chesapeake Bay which has caused their entire ecosystem to crash. And that's because they're feeding the algae in the water column and on the eelgrass. It causes the eelgrass to crash, and therefore all those fisheries crash. We don't seem to have that problem. We have a sediment problem, not a nutrient loading problem in Humboldt Bay. But I say that with a question mark, because I know that the sufficient science to be conclusive about that isn't there. There's a data gap, and lots of other examples. We've worked with the Water Quality Control Board in the past to try to come up with a biologically justified TMDL for Humboldt Bay would be another example. If you want an eelgrass habitat supporting Dungeness crab and juvenile rockfish of X size, well, then the water has to be clear enough to let the light through, which means you need to be regulating the sediment coming into Humboldt Bay. Again, the science isn't there, but that's an example of the type of science we're interested in pursuing and how it's really community connected and connected to money. There's a need for a nonprofit entity that is attractive to both funders and scientists, and our group has been meeting a lot for the last several months to figure out what's the best strategy for pulling that off, for basically getting the money to do the work we're talking about. And our first of all is we're going to really play up this team connection. And the team I'm talking about is the Humboldt Bay Initiative. I'll say more about that in a moment. I'm going to address A, B, and C here. And we've been talking and working on financial options, basically to minimize the amount of money that gets stolen and going off into overhead and to maximize the amount of money that's going into real work. All right. And third, we're working on an investigator option. So if I'm the person writing a grant or a colleague of mine is writing a grant, we're talking about an HBI stamp of approval where they actually get the pre-proposal reviewed before it's submitted, and they get it reviewed by the people who are super familiar with the community issues. So we're really trying to empower and increase the odds of attracting the funding into the area. Here's that team connection I'm talking about. So HBI is the Humboldt Bay Initiative, and some of you know this group. This is the group that's been led by Susan Schlosser from Eureka Sea Grant for several years, but it's had other names for multiple years. There's really been a group of 40 to 80 city, tribe, state, federal agency people, scientists, private folks, all getting together talking about the ecosystem health of Humboldt Bay, and from the get-go we regard that as the top of the watershed to offshore. That's our focus. And we have a strategic plan. There's been thousands of people hours already put into talking to the public and bringing in fishermen, foresters, and everything, and saying, do you know these connections to the system, and how could we do this? How would this affect your life if we want to do something in Humboldt Bay? So we've been going through that process, and that's something that somebody is applying for money to do science in the watershed really needs to tout. It's probably our number one card to play, is that team connection. As we evolved, there were other agencies that didn't have jurisdictions abutting Humboldt Bay, like the people up in Redwood National and State Parks, and they said, you know, we really like what you guys are doing, and we'd like to work with you, but we don't have jurisdictions. And so what we have done in our own bylaws and minutes is to say we'll work with anybody who's working on that land-to-sea connection anywhere, basically from Cape Mendocino to the border. It doesn't have to be just this group that's been working in Humboldt Bay. And I won't spend a lot of time here. I've been learning a lot more about money than I ever thought a marine botanist had to. But we realized that, just to make a couple of general points, for right now we want to be small. We want to pass through the money as much as possible and you know, pay a bookkeeper to do a minimum amount of work when it comes to handling actual, you know, grants and contracts. And so there's lots of ways to split, you know, to split that pie and to move those circles around. And we've played with those games to try to minimize the amount of overhead that's been happening. But here's one important take-home message. On the large multi-party grants, these grants are going to involve lots of different kinds of people when we write them. And they're very multidisciplinary. They're very collaborative. And they're big. And so there's a lot of legal issues that we have to deal with, et cetera, in terms of moving the money around. And CEI right now does not want to be doing that. And there's really only one game in town right now for dealing with grants that size, and that's HSU. And I'm pleased to report that we have a new director of the foundation, and we've spent a lot of time talking to him already, and he's quite happy to be working with us. The Humboldt Area Foundation is also somebody we've talked to a lot about, and they don't yet handle and manage large federal grants, but they're going to be within a year, which means that when we get to these larger issues, these larger complex grants, we'll have a little competition in the area, and that's a good thing. So anyway, like I said, that's kind of the financial situation, and one of the carrots that's going to be important for our success in getting work done is to maximize that percentage for work. The stamp of approval for an investigator, what I meant by that was, you know, envision yourself writing a grant. You know that there's this strategic plan, for example, from something related to Humboldt Bay. That's already out there. You know that you want to write a grant that's related to a point item already identified in the community in that strategic plan. And what you would do is submit part of your proposal to a panel of HBI people from covering a gamut of representing a state, et cetera. And they would actually review your pre-proposal, and it's not a rubber stamp. And they would say, well, you know, you are meeting the community's needs or you're not. And then that would, you know, if they are and the PI likes what he sees, then they actually can include that as kind of a high-powered letter. So the PI could say to the funder, you don't have to believe me, but you can believe these people here. So those are our strategies for doing that. Groups like CEI are not new, and we've been thinking a lot about how to grow. I mean, we're only about a half a year old. And in the short term, we're going to keep the CEI structure and costs real simple. And we need to grow our board, but basically start, you know, cutting our teeth on some smaller projects. But if we get a bigger project right now, we would absolutely take that, and we would probably run that through HSU. And a model for what a longer-term growth would look like is at the San Francisco Estuary Institute. And basically, when you have an entity that is that large, they're taking care of everything. They're taking care of all the paperwork, all the legalities, and then our reliance on something like a university or even a Humboldt Area Foundation drops off dramatically, and you've got one entity. And they've been up here, they've talked to us, we've been talking a lot to them. So that's one way we know we can go. We're just not going to go there yet. Another possible way we could grow is through a joint powers of authority, working, for example, with the Water Quality Control Board on a theme of Humboldt Bay water quality. And that's a couple of our contacts right there. But if some of you who know Susan or Darren, you know, you can find us either way. Thank you very much. We'll take any questions you have.
I just have to. First of all, the first time that I met you, I've read your name all over the place, and you have a very good reputation. So I want to
thank you.
And it's a little unclear to me how much you're focusing on Humboldt Bay, and to the extent you are there and can further the TMDL process, it would be just an incredible service to the board and the community. To the extent you're going the coastline, then I think key players are going to be state parks, Redwood National Park, and the tribes as you move north.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And especially the state and Redwood National Parks, I'll put a little plea into them. They're trying to get some baseline survey data, and they're just so starved for funds now. Even a very small grant or collaborative process could really help establish some of the baseline studies.
Yeah, and we're ready to participate in
that. And I also know the tribes are interested in very similar studies as well.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. Mr. Moore?
Thank you for coming today. Have you identified projects, right now that you would do? In a wishful world?
Yes. We have a list of projects that we've tried to get funded, over the last 2 or 3 years. So, for example, the example I gave about a biologically justified TMDL, we wrote that grant unsuccessfully, which was kind of one of the impetuses for the creation of making ourselves more attractive. And we learned a lot from
sure,
that. But
absolutely.
We have that and others. We need to grow our list, what you're talking about, the shovel-ready idea.
But the Humboldt Bay Initiative went through a year-long strategic planning process. It was funded by the Packard Foundation, Susan Schlosser with the Marine... Sea Grant, led that process, and all of us participated in that, and our organization, our nonprofit, grew out of that process in part to answer the need for a place to have funding come to implement those projects that we identified. And several of them are very large scale, dealing with sea level rise. Frank mentioned the sedimentation issues in the bay. I've always wanted to see something like the San Francisco Estuary Institute conducted in San Francisco Bay with the Habitat Goals Project. We have a lot of wetlands, former tidelands that were converted to farmlands, and we have an opportunity to do restoration on those lands. So we have identified several categories of projects and would definitely like to find funding to go forward with them. And that's what our organization is set up to help facilitate.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, just dream big, and you have the ability. You basically you're pretty wide open in your scope and idea and imagination and that connection, of what you're thinking and grand plan. I wish you well. Actually, if we could help you, please let me know.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just had one other comment on the sediment issue. Of course, sediment that runs off the hills and into the bay is obviously a key problem. Salt River silted in partially over that. At the same time, if you go to the ocean here, it's especially north of Humboldt Bay, you'll notice that it has very high sediment loads, which comes from Eel River, Mad River, Klamath River, and an extreme north-south current that switches back and forth that crams it back down the coast. And I don't know how much that comes in and affects the turbidity of Humboldt Bay, but that I'd be very interested in what the research shows on that.
Yeah. So that's a really good example of half the science being done. So the harbor district is mostly concerned about the coarser sediments coming in to choke up the channels, and that's probably mostly coming from the Mad and the Eel River. But if you're concerned about a light attenuation and a lack of productivity in Humboldt Bay, that's a different source of sediment, and that's probably coming from the watershed.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you very much. All right. Hello, Rebecca, Ben.
We're now officially moving on to item number 11, our